The town of Surrey has its origins with the fishery. A map made in the late 1740s by the French shows the bay as Havre à la Surrey. In the 19th century, with its new breakwater built by John Knight and various wharves constructed by the local merchants, the town was a bustling hive of activity. All manner of trades moved to the town, the most important of whom was the cooper, a chap who would make the barrels in which the salt fish was stored and shipped to the international markets. Trade in that era was not with Upper and Lower Canada, New Brunswick, or even Nova Scotia. It was with New England and the United States, affectionately referred to as the Boston States. All manner of fleets plied the Gulf of St. Lawrence looking for their Wrigley treasure, cod, mackerel, herring, alewives, and hake. Nothing was wasted. The oil from the fish, too, was an important commodity. I can remember as a boy being forced to drink cod liver oil. Ish! The locals went to sea, but had to compete against fleets from Carrickett, New Brunswick, Lewisburg, Nova Scotia, and Gloucester, Massachusetts. The American ships were seiners with 5 to 6 huge nets in each schooner. The nets would become damaged and would have to be brought ashore, laid out in large fields, and be repaired by the local net makers. Supplies were also another reason to enter port. Staples such as basic groceries, new clothing or boots, and most important of all, fresh water. There was another beverage available, too, that caused a lot of trouble for Surrey businessmen. Liquor was an item every government licensed merchant readily supplied. The crews would have the run of the town. The combination of easily obtained and cheap booze, local resentment of these foreigners coming into town, being loud and rowdy, acting like they owned the place, and probably the biggest sin of all, courting the local girls, soon had the local lads brushing up on their fighting skills. In Surrey at that time, the Marquess of Queensberry rules would not have been adhered to. It seemed that in direct proportion to the amount of rum sold, that everyone's carefully honed skills would have to be laid out for all Surrey to see. Anything went. Local merchants, fully realizing that they were a part of the problem, but still liking the profits immensely, took the whole thing in stride and shuttered their windows each night at closing, and in the morning took down the iron bars to prevent damage during the inevitable fights that on more than one occasion could be classified as turning into full-fledged riots. One riot between American and Nova Scotia fishermen saw an English man of war enter the harbor and land its crew on the beach. The naval crew and officers fixed bayonets and marched up through the town, sweeping the crews back to the ships. The worst riot in Surrey history occurred on October 12, 1888. It is still remembered as Axe Handle Night. Down by Carlton's store, on present-day Main Street near the A&M Auto Parts, a gang of drunken sailors were assaulting Joseph Doyle, who was a local merchant and banker. James Dunphy, who was the local saddler, saw what was going on and went across the street to help. Both men were badly beaten, and soon others came to their defense. Soon the two sides were armed with sticks and axe handles. There were several advances and retreats. Main Street was soon full of hundreds of fishermen and the locals who poured out to their homes to join the fray. There were many scuffles, and some thick skulls took quite a pounding that night. The sailors, realizing that they were now outmanned, beat a retreat to the wharves and ran up Main Street and turned down Breakwater, pursued all the way by the enraged citizenry. The ranks broke, and some were captured and taken to the local lockup. The rest fled and turned the corner toward the ships. One brawler by the name of Stropel, though, forgot to turn the corner and ran right over the bank and died a slow death on the rocks. At midnight in his home in Guysborough, Nova Scotia, his wife woke with a start. A clock was chiming 12. She did not have such a clock in her house. She felt chills up and down her spine. It had to be a forerunner. The next morning, Stropel's battered and broken body was found. The coroner's jury convened and called his death an accident, and Stropel's mortal remains were hastily interred in Union Cemetery in Surrey West. The rioters that were arrested were fined $50 apiece, which seemed excessive by the citizenry of the day, considering that the average fine in the community at that time was only $5. The widow Stropel was soon advised of her husband's demise, and she came to Surrey to have his remains exhumed and returned to the little churchyard near their home. Her rage at the events was such that before she left, she placed a curse on Surrey, exhorting that it would be a town of widows. The spot where Stropel went over the cliffs is marked, however, for a much different reason. In the small Centennial Park stands the granite memorial which commemorates the sinking of the Iceland II at Forshue, Cape Breton, in February 1967. On the back is listed the names of the local fishermen who have lost their lives while at work at sea. Somehow, in Fisherman Stropel's case, it is appropriate that the memorial is here, for this part of Surrey's past is too a story not forgotten.